Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes his study on justification by faith.
All week we've been looking at the subject of justification by faith. In this last study, we're going to focus on the results of justification, the things that we could experience in our walk with the Lord, the blessings and the privileges that justification by faith alone brings to our life. This is obviously in contrast to being saved by our works and by our own efforts. Just by way of reminder, let me give you a definition of justification by faith. And this comes by a theologian, Millard Erickson. It says, justification is a restoration of the individual to a state of righteousness. We conclude that justification is a forensic or legal or declarative action of God, like that of a judge in acquitting the accused. And so justification means that we have stood before God, who is the judge, and he has declared us to be innocent by our faith in Jesus Christ, because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been applied to our life. Now, this is in contrast in the person who's still trying to justify themselves or to be saved on their own good works, or that believer who is still mixed up and is trying to earn or keep their standing before God based on their works. It's interesting that when Jesus was here, he cried out and he said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, so often we use this passage today where I believe it does apply to those that are out there in sin, those that are involved with drugs, or their life is completely messed up and destroyed. We say, come to Jesus and you'll find rest for your souls. And that is true. But the people that Jesus spoke to in that day was the religious community. That's because they were under the teaching of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees added to the Old Testament 615 laws. 365 negative ones of thou shalt not, and 250 positive ones of what a person should be doing. So they not only had the law of God, they also had additional laws placed upon them. And when Jesus saw them and he came to them, he saw them as those that were being weighed down and burdened, as sheep that had no shepherd, that were being ripped apart and torn apart by these heavy demands of legalism that was placed upon them. And it was to those individuals he said, come to him and you will find rest for your souls. And so today we need to, again, come to Jesus Christ and experience the fullness of the rest for our souls that Jesus has to offer us. But that only comes when we understand the fact that we have been justified by faith. It's a completed act, and it's not something that we maintain. And the Bible speaks of the fruit or the results of being justified by faith that are ours presently, right now, that we could receive as we understand the Word of God. And the first result is that the removal of the penalty of our sins has been completed. And Romans 5, verse 9 says this, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And that's this future wrath, that a future judgment. We're saved from that because we're justified by faith. And so there's no longer the fear of death that we have. The book of Hebrews says that we've been delivered from the fear of death. We are being held captive all of our days, but now we look forward to being in the presence of the Lord in heaven, not because of our goodness or not because of our good works that we'll perform in the future, but because we've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the second result is that all condemnation is gone. And this actually is one of my favorite verses of Scripture, Romans 8, verse 1, which says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is something each individual believer needs to ponder. How could we say that we are no longer condemned at all? There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The only way to be able to say that is that God is no longer holding me accountable for my past sins, or is no longer now judging me for the sins that I commit presently. That's because they were all nailed to the cross. Now, if I have to bear the responsibility of my guilt before God, then I'll never be free of condemnation. Thank God Jesus Christ paid for all of my sins, not just the ones that led up to the point where I received the Lord and put my faith and trust in him, but even those sins that are after the point that we received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, this is not a license to sin, but I'm talking to those that are struggling with guilt and condemnation and looking at their own weaknesses and wondering, how is it that God could receive them? Well, he doesn't receive us based on our works and our efforts and our goodness. He receives us because of what Jesus Christ has done. And as we look to the cross, that guilt and condemnation will flee away. Paul brings this point out in Romans chapter 4, where he speaks about David. David describes the blessedness in verse 6. to the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Then he quotes the Psalms in verse 7 and 8 where it says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom, now listen to this, the Lord shall not impute sin. And so now when we sin, God does not hold us accountable in the sense that someday in the future he's going to judge us and that we're going to be held accountable for that sin. It's no longer imputed to us because what's been imputed to us or reckoned to us or credited to our account is the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that brings on a blessedness. Now, if we're still trying to earn something before God and earn that standing, all that does is bring condemnation and guilt. But for the believer, all condemnation has been completely banished from our presence because the Lord was condemned in our behalf. The third result is that man is at peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, notice that's past tense, it's a completed action, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the peace with God here is not talking about a feeling or an emotion that we have that the Lord gives me peace in the midst of my trials and struggles. It's talking about my relationship with Him. I am no longer in a place of being separated or in that place of hostility. I am now at peace with Him. I am no longer God's enemy. Because that's what Paul spoke about later on in the chapter in verse 8, for God demonstrated His love towards us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And also in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. We were enemies, we were sinners, and now we're at peace with God. That barrier has been completely removed because we have been justified. And that's great news, that we are at peace with God, not based on our own efforts, not based on our continuing goodness, but based on the fact that we have been justified by faith through Jesus Christ. There is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding in the midst of circumstances. That's different than what Romans 5 is talking about. Romans 5 is talking about our relationship with the Lord. You right now are presently at peace with God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The fourth result is that man knows a certainty of the forgiveness of sins, Romans 4, verse 6, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And we read the other verses as well, speaking about not having our sin imputed to us. That brings on that blessedness, that sense of confidence, that sense of trust, that sense of peace, that rest for your soul, knowing that we have the imputed righteousness apart from works. And the fifth result is the crediting of righteousness, the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, it says this, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And so that's what Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 4, that crediting of the righteousness of God at the moment of faith. As Paul points out in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's what gives you that right standing with the Lord on a continual basis, not you adding your works to it and your good deeds, but we were made righteous, declared innocent, declared righteous by God at the moment of faith. And the sixth result is that we find acceptance with God the Father. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says that we have been made accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved is obviously Jesus Christ, and now we're accepted by God the Father because we are in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ means to be saved, to be justified, to be right with God. And that's in Christ we are right with God, not in our good works, not in our good intentions, but only as being in Jesus Christ. And that is also one of my favorite passages in the Bible, realizing that my Heavenly Father accepts me right now presently with my weaknesses, with my failures, with my sin, because I don't come to Him based on Brian Parrish and my efforts and my works, but based on Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 4 says we could come boldly or with a confidence that we're going to be accepted by God because we come through a new and living way through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful promise that you need to understand that you have acceptance with God in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. And the seventh aspect is that man knows that his sins are forgiven. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So while we're in that state of sin, Christ died in our place. He bore our sin. So we know that our sins are forgiven, not based on our goodness, but on the work of Jesus Christ. And the eighth and final result is that man is now free to serve the Lord, not out of guilt, not out of condemnation, but out of gratitude. And I think that's where the Lord wants us all to be, is just so thankful for what Christ accomplished on our behalf, that we desire to serve Him. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul has this interesting phrase. He says, "The love of Christ constrains me." Not his love for Christ, but Christ's love for him. And based on that, that's what caused him or motivated him to serve the Lord, even to the point of being stoned and beaten and shipwrecked and went through all the horrible things that he went through. It's because the overwhelming love of Christ, that was compelling him. It was drawing him to continue to serve the Lord. And that needs to be the motive for our service now, is gratitude. Not fear of being judged in the future, not of trying to earn a standing before God, but simply because we're overwhelmed with the goodness and love of God. And so our ministries that we're involved in, our service in the church, the things that we do for the Lord, needs to be motivated out of the love of God, out of His gracious acts towards me, rather than out of anything else, any compulsion. The Bible speaks of the Lord not wanting us even to give out of compulsion or constraint, out of outward pressure. But He wants that willingness of hearts. And the only way to have that true willingness of heart is to sit back, to learn the doctrine of justification by faith, that it's apart from works, that God has greatly blessed us. Then as we contemplate that, our heart simply submits to His plan and say, "Lord, whatever You want, I desire to serve You. I desire to be used by You." And it's simply out of gratitude. In closing our studies on the doctrine of justification by faith, this is what the Reformers said, that this is the doctrine by which the church rises and falls. When we lose sight of this doctrine, that we're made right based on what Jesus Christ has done and what He's done alone, apart from our works, I believe we fail to teach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's the focus, that's the bedrock foundation, is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That is how man is made right with God, as we exercise our faith in the work that Jesus Christ did on our behalf.